English Radio. Coming up is the news.
This hour. More Palestinians are killed in the Gaza Strip as Israel defies all international calls to stop its months-long deadly onslaught on the territory's civilian population. The Islamic resistance in Iraq carries out a new drone attack on an Israeli military target, pledging to continue its operations until the Israeli genocide in Gaza comes to a halt. And Iran's Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian, who is in Pakistan, says Tehran and Islamabad are determined to step up their joint fight against terrorist groups in their border regions. Well, welcome to our studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is News. Thanks for joining us. Israel keeps pounding Gaza, killing more Palestinians in the already devastated territory. 40 people have lost their lives in fresh strikes on Gaza City, as well as in Nusayrat camp located in the center of the Strip. Israel's genocidal war is now in its 115th day. The total death toll has surpassed 26,400. Tens of thousands have also been injured. Apart from casualties, the relentless attacks have inflicted a catalog of miseries on the people of Gaza. According to Euro-Mediterranean Human Rights Monitor, more than 25,000 kids have lost one or both parents in Gaza since October the 7th. Meanwhile, a Palestinian armed faction reports that it shot down an Israeli drone over southern Gaza. The Mujahideen Brigades also said that it bombed an Israeli aviation base in the southern occupied Palestinian territories. Earlier, we spoke to our correspondent in the Gaza Strip, Moti Abu Musaba, about the latest developments there. He said the Israeli regime has intensified its bombing of residential areas, leading to dozens of fatalities.
The last night was hellish and bloody for the Palestinian people in Gaza Strip, not only here in Deir el-Balah city or in the central area of Gaza Strip, but across all areas of Gaza Strip, as the Israeli warplanes maintain their attacks on the Palestinian residential areas. In the central area of Gaza Strip, particularly in the Nusayrat refugee camp, the Israeli warplanes pounded several residential buildings and apartments, claiming the lives of at least 40 Palestinians, civilians, mostly women and children. And when it comes to Gaza City, also it was a harsh night for the Palestinians there, as the Israeli occupation forces renewed their attacks on several residential areas inside Gaza City, where at least 23 Palestinian civilians have been killed, as the Israeli occupation forces attacked a school which was taken shelter by the Palestinian evacuees from the northern parts of Gaza Strip. And in addition to that, 10 Palestinian civilians also lost their lives after the Israeli occupation forces attacked several residential buildings in Ashat, a refugee camp. And on the ground, as you know, that the Israeli occupation forces is still attempting to invade and to practice more offensive, particularly inside Gaza City. It was reported yesterday or over the last night that the Israeli tanks managed to move forward in the depth of Gaza City and Al-Rimal neighborhood and in the surrounding areas of Ashifa Hospital amid fierce gunfight of the Palestinian resistance. And drastic clashes erupted between the Palestinian resistance and the Israeli occupation forces on the ground. It means that the Palestinian resistance is still stand to its ground.
Israeli forces have carried out fresh raids on several areas of the occupied West Bank, killing at least 5 Palestinians. 2 Palestinians were killed in an Israeli incursion into a town south of Al-Khalil. The regime also carried out a separate raid into Jenin, killing another Palestinian. The 4th victim of the Israeli violence was a student who was killed by the regime forces in Bethlehem. Another Palestinian was shot dead during a military raid in Silwad. Israel has carried out raids in the occupied West Bank almost on a daily basis since the regime began its onslaught in the Gaza Strip on October 7. The acts of aggression have left over 370 Palestinians dead. We were earlier joined by our correspondent, Mona Kandil, who gave us more details on the Israeli raids into the occupied West Bank. Let's take a listen.
This is what happened last night. Israeli troops had raided first the city of Jenin and some neighborhoods of the refugee camp of Jenin. And they also stormed the Al-Hadaf neighborhood. And at least one Palestinian has been arrested by the Israeli forces. During this military raid, Israeli troops also stormed the village of Al-Yamun. In Al-Yamun, clashes had erupted between Palestinians and Israeli forces. This is what the residents of Al-Yamun have said. And at least one Palestinian has been seriously wounded. Later, this young Palestinian man, 21-year-old Thaer Hammo, succumbed to his injuries. And he was, of course, seriously wounded and transferred to a small clinic there in the Jenin area. And the doctors later said that this young man has succumbed to his injuries. During the military raid, the Jenin Israeli forces have caused severe destruction in the infrastructure. The Israeli forces destroyed also some parts of homes during this military raid. The main destruction was in the infrastructure of the roads, all the streets leading to the refugee camp of Jenin, as well as in the neighborhoods of the Jenin refugee camp.
The Islamic Resistance in Iraq says it has carried out a fresh attack on Israeli targets in occupied Palestinian territories. In a statement, the group said it launched a drone strike on an Israeli military target at dawn on Monday. The Islamic Resistance in Iraq says that it will continue to hit enemy strongholds. There are no words on the possible damage or casualties yet. In a separate incident on Sunday, the U.S. said three of its troops were killed in a drone strike on a military base straddling the border between Jordan and Syria. The U.S. Central Command says at least 25 service members were also injured. The U.S. President Joe Biden has blamed resistance groups in Iraq and Syria for the attack, but there has been no claim of responsibility so far. Meanwhile, Iran has rejected as baseless the accusation that it had a role in the deadly attack on a U.S. base in Jordan, saying this is a plot by parties that have an interest in dragging the U.S. to a new conflict in the region. The foreign ministry spokesman said in his weekly presser that the plot is hatched by those who seek to cover up their failure by provoking the U.S. to expand the current tensions. Nasser Kanani said Tehran does not welcome any escalation in the region. He added that Tehran is not involved in the resistance group's decision-making on how to defend themselves against acts of aggression or support Palestine. Kanani reiterated that an immediate ceasefire in Gaza can pave the way for return to peace in the region. Lebanon's Hezbollah resistance movement has carried out fresh strikes against Israeli positions. Among the targets, several gatherings of Israeli forces in the northern parts of the occupied Palestinian territories near Lebanon's southern borders. Hezbollah also hit Israel's espionage equipment at the Ras al-Nakura site with precision missiles. The resistance movement fired two Falak 1 missiles at the Kharbet Meir base as well. Hezbollah and the Israeli military have been exchanging fire since the genocidal war in Gaza began. Israeli forces frequently launch attacks on areas in southern Lebanon. In response, Hezbollah targets Israeli troops and military positions across Lebanon's southern border. The movement says it aims to support Palestinian resistance fighters who are battling Israel inside Gaza by engaging the regime forces at another front. The Yemeni army says it has carried out yet another operation against an American vessel in the Red Sea, following a string of similar attacks over the past weeks. The army spokesman Yahya Sari said the Lewis B. Puller Expeditionary Mobile Base ship was targeted by a naval strike missile in the Gulf of Aden. Sari said the vessel provided logistical support to the American forces in their attacks on Yemen. The spokesman said the operation was carried out in response to those strikes and in solidarity with Palestinians. He stressed that operations against vessels owned by or bound for Israel will also continue until Israel stops its onslaught on Gaza. We earlier asked Yemeni activist and political commentator Hossein Abouqaiti to share his thoughts about the recent operations against U.S. vessels. Let's listen to what he had to tell us.
This is actually exactly what Yemeni army has been saying, that the expansion of the attack in the Red Sea, the one who's responsible for it is the president of the UK and United States, and the attack against Yemen. And we remember, since this attack, which United States claim that they are actually to obstruct or to deter Yemeni capability to target ship is actually shows exactly the opposite. Since the strike against Yemen, Yemeni has actually targeted several commercial ships belonging to the United States and UK. And we remember in the last 2 or 3 days, they have targeted an oil tanker that's owned by a British company. And the only demand that Yemeni still insist to stop all this attack is to stop the genocide in Palestine, especially in Gaza, to lift the blockade, to allow food and medicine to enter Gaza. And we've seen clearly that the Zionist state of Israel is not stopping, because as long as they are getting financial help, weapons and ammunition and all type of help they need from United States and UK, they will continue their attack, because I believe that Yemeni army actually will extend its attack to target all commercial ships to the UK and to the United States. If they are not going to stop attacking Yemen and stop the genocide in Gaza, this means that the Red Sea will be blocked and none of their ships will actually be able to enter the Red Sea. So they should be the one who will actually will stop the genocide against the Palestinian people.
We talked to you about how Lebanon's Hezbollah resistance movement has carried out some fresh strikes against Israeli positions. Let's find out more about those positions. Our correspondent, Mariam Saleh, joins us from Beirut to tell us more. So we have the exchanges that have taken place. Tell us what, in particular, those Israeli positions are, Mariam, if you can.
Well, we've had several positions. We've had Birkat Risha, for example, Mitat, Jalal Alam. Those were three of the significant barracks that were hit. Also, the Nakura seaside post was also targeted by Hezbollah and have targeted directly the espionage devices for the Israelis in Nakura, specifically. And the Israelis have tried to situate and put in new devices after Hezbollah has already targeted the original devices that are used by the Israelis to for reconnaissance purposes and espionage against Lebanon. Of course, the Israelis always have backup, and so Hezbollah has made sure that they will target even the backup. What is new in this chapter of confrontation is that Hezbollah has uncovered the use of the rocket of Falak 1, which is also very significant, in addition to the extensive use of Al Burqan rocket last night after midnight. Two simultaneous operations took place by Hezbollah against two different posts where they used the Burqan rocket as well. We also have continuously on a daily basis complaints from the Israeli settlers saying that what they are hearing is something that is much louder and something that is much more scarier than they've ever witnessed in the past. It's not a normal Katyusha. It's not a normal anti-tank or anti-armor missile. It's something greater than that. This is what those settlers are saying. And so they are living that state of continuous terror as a result of these confrontations. The Israelis have transformed almost all of the Gilili, or at least 7 to 10 kilometers, into a closed military zone. They've cornered off the area. They're not allowing any media or any of the settlers to return to that area. And of course, there's a lot of promises that are being given by the Israeli officials saying that they will bring back the settlers. And they're also using a lot of U.S. Leverage into Lebanon to try to put pressure on the Lebanese government and on Hezbollah, whether through blackmail or through other diplomatic channels and through other means, to force them to stop their operations. Now, since Hezbollah has refused to stop, they're adamant on continuing these resistance operations until the war on Gaza stops. Then there is also other talks about the fact that the Israelis have brought in more enforcements and reinforcements into the Galilee region. They took them out of Gaza, brought them towards the north of occupied Palestine. And so that basically raises the stakes when it comes to a possibility of a wider confrontation. The Israelis are also going to a more ladder of escalation, if we may say, enlarging the scope bit by bit, it seems, going to towns and villages that are further off from the border. In the beginning, it was only all the towns that are all along the border. Now we have more Israeli shelling towards other areas, and we're talking about areas that are maybe 7 kilometers in some instances. It was in places which are some 15 kilometers away from the border. That is, of course, that does raise the alarm. But Hezbollah's officials have said that the Israelis are incapable and not ready, since, first of all, their units that are coming from Gaza are exhausted, they are over-fatigued, in addition to the fact that Hezbollah is more ready than ever before for any sort of face-off the Israelis decide to launch and begin.
Thank you so much for that. Maryam Saleh there from Beirut. We appreciate it, Maryam. Moving on, Tehran and Islamabad are taking further steps to fight against terrorism. That's according to Iran's foreign minister, Hossein Amir Abdollahian.
Today, the two high-ranking delegates and delegations of Pakistan and Iran, we agreed together in order to take further actions as soon as possible when it comes to border security, necessity of fighting against terrorism, expansion of trade, commercial and economic cooperation, establishment of the joint border markets, and opening of the border crossing, as well as establishment of the free trade zones.
Amir Abdollahian made the remarks in a joint press conference with his Pakistani counterpart in Islamabad. The top diplomat said that Iran and Pakistan will use joint cooperation to prevent terrorists from endangering the security of the two nations. He noted that Tehran considers Pakistan's security as its own security and the security of the whole region. For his part, Jalil Abbas Jilani said the two countries have agreed to establish a high-level consultation mechanism to fight against terrorism. The top Pakistani diplomat also said that Tehran and Islamabad will also take measures to improve their bilateral economic relations. Moving on, several European capitals have witnessed rallies in solidarity with Palestinians as Israel pushes its genocide in the Gaza Strip. In the Danish capital of Copenhagen, the protesters condemned Israeli atrocities in the besieged Gaza Strip and called for an end to the genocide. Also in Spain, people marched in Madrid to denounce the onslaught on Gaza. The demonstrators voiced support for South Africa's case against Israel at the International Court of Justice. They also carried flags of Palestine and South Africa and chanted pro-Palestinian slogans. Countries across the world have seen mass pro-Palestinian rallies since Israel began its deadly aggression on the Gaza Strip on October 7. And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with a large number of women from across the country. The meeting was held in the Imam Khomeini Husseiniya on December 27, 2023, a week before the birth anniversary of Lady Fatima al-Zahra, peace be upon her. This day is celebrated as Women's Day in Iran. And Maryam, the daughter of Imran, who guarded her chastity. Quran chapter 66, verse 12. For some reason, Almighty God does not describe Moses himself as a role model for the believers here. Rather, he refers to Pharaoh's wife, who was Prophet Moses' stepmother, as a role model. He does not refer to Jesus himself. Rather, he cites his mother as a role model. This shows that women are being favored over men in a way for some reason, and I believe the reason for this is obvious. It is because there is already a sense of superiority in men due to the circumstances of their physical and bodily makeup and their features. That's how it was, especially at the time when the Quran was revealed. The Almighty God wants to reject this, as if God is telling them, "What are you talking about? Just because your voice, for example, is deeper, just because you're taller, just because you have broad shoulders, you think you're better?" No, you need to follow these women, Asiya and Maryam, peace be upon them, and look to her as your role models.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
There is a hadith which says that a man came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and asked, "Who should I be good to?" The Prophet replied, "Your mother." The man asked, "Who next?" The Prophet replied, "Your mother again." The man asked a third time, "So who after that?" Once again, the Prophet replied, "Your mother." So all three times, the Prophet said, "Your mother." The man then asked, "Who next?" The Prophet replied, "Your father." So a person's mother is three times ahead of their father. This shows the high status of woman in the family. This was stated by the Prophet to emphasize this point. So what I want to say is that with regard to spiritual journeying, spiritual ascension, and true human values, gender is not important at all, except in certain cases where one gender is preferred over the other, and that is a preference for women over men. As far as I have seen, and I have not seen anything besides this.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Gaza, where Israel's air and artillery strikes have become a regular occurrence. In the besieged strip, sounds of bombardment are followed by screams of mothers losing their kids, as well as cries of children whose parents are killed by the regime. Tens of thousands of Palestinians, most of them women and kids, have been killed in the relentless strikes since October 7th. Humanitarian organizations report that more than 10 children on average lose one or both of their legs per day in the coastal territory. And that's just one aspect of the unending cycle of Israel's brutality against the people of Gaza. Apart from casualties, the regime's recurring attacks have caused indescribable devastation in the Palestinian territory. But when it comes to describing the true nature of the Israeli onslaught, there's no word better than genocide. There are multiple reports and countless evidence indicating that what's taking place in Gaza meets the definition of a genocidal war. Since the very beginning of the onslaught, millions of people around the world, along with a number of states, have been calling on international institutions to oblige Israel to end the genocide. South Africa is one of those states. The country in late December filed a lawsuit against Israel at the International Court of Justice. Now, nearly 1 month after the lawsuit was filed, the Hague-based court is set to convene on Friday to decide on South Africa's request for an interim ruling in its genocide case against Israel. The possible verdict by the ICJ would order Israel to announce a ceasefire in Gaza and allow more humanitarian aid into the Palestinian territory. In its filing, Pretoria referred to Israel's violation of the United Nations 1948 Genocide Convention. South Africa's application includes multiple offenses, from indiscriminate killing of Palestinians to the wholesale destruction of Gaza's infrastructure. Earlier in January, the Hague-based court convened two-day hearings. At the closing of the first day, the South African ambassador to the Netherlands asked the court to order Israel to immediately suspend its onslaught on the besieged strip.
One, the state of Israel shall immediately suspend its military operations in and against Gaza. Two, the state of Israel shall ensure that any military or irregular armed units which may be directed, supported, or influenced by it, as well as any organizations and persons which may be subject to its control, direction, or influence, take no steps in furtherance of the military operations referred to in point one above.
South Africa's move has been welcomed by Palestinian resistance movements. Hamas said the arguments and evidence put forth by South Africa proves Israel's crimes of genocide and ethnic cleansing in Gaza. The Palestinian Foreign Ministry also applauded the move, calling it a historic moment for humanity.
This is a historical moment for the Palestinian people and for humanity, as well as for the world order based on law.
A number of countries and international organizations have welcomed South Africa's case at the ICJ. The Organization of Islamic Countries, OIC, and the Arab League expressed their support for the case. Malaysia, Turkey, Jordan, and Iran are among the states voicing support for the motion. Israel's crimes against Palestinians in Gaza have also been referred to the International Criminal Court. Mexico and Chile have requested the ICC to probe the crimes against civilians in Gaza. Submitting lawsuits at international courts are parts of global efforts to mandate Israel to put an end to its non-stop strikes on Gaza, as their scale and nature dovetail with the widely accepted narrative that the onslaught is actually a genocidal war.
South Africa has taken the step to invoke the Genocide Convention and charge Israel in the International Court of Justice. While there are severe limitations to this process, it is undeniably momentous to see Israel brought before the highest international court to answer for its crime of genocide against the Palestinians. The relationship between South Africa and Palestine is deep and cannot be underestimated. It was forged through oppression and racial subjugation. Israel was a key player in the development and later the malignancy of apartheid rule in South Africa. South Africa's apartheid prime minister, Daniel Malan, was the first foreign prime minister to visit Tel Aviv following the Nakba. Hendrik Verwoerd, a South African apartheid architect and prime minister, even claimed in 1961 that Israel, like South Africa, is an apartheid state. That was 6 decades before Amnesty International said the same. In order to improve the image of apartheid in South Africa, Israel and the apartheid authorities established a joint secretariat for political and psychological warfare in 1975. By 1981, the apartheid army in South Africa had 200 Israeli military advisors, and hundreds of apartheid troops were also educated in Israeli military academies. Israeli military instructors provided direct guidance to the South African Reconnaissance Commando's elite unit in particular. Elbit Systems, Israel's largest arms business, played a key role in the development of South Africa's military electronics industry. South Africa's naval forces were also trained in Israel and sold radar systems by ELTA, a subsidiary of the state-owned Israeli Aerospace Industries. Israel was also essential to the construction of an electric wall to police the border of apartheid South Africa, with a crew of 50 Israeli technicians stationed permanently at the wall for maintenance. The Israelis also planted radar devices and minefields along the border. Israeli intelligence agencies had a steady presence in apartheid-era South Africa. The apartheid intelligence agency boss ran a letterbomb campaign against ANC figures like Ruth First, which employed similar methods in its Operation Wrath of God against Palestinians in Lebanon. It is thought likely that Israel provided support for this. The Israel spy agency, the ADL, also spied on many anti-apartheid activists, including Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and sold the information to boss agents of the apartheid regime in South Africa. Israel and apartheid South Africa worked closely on nuclear research, with South African uranium proving extremely useful to Israel's covert nuclear program. Are we witnessing the revenge of history?
Over 100 days into the U.S.-Israeli war on Gaza, over 100 days of death and destruction for a regime which indiscriminately targets any moving thing anywhere in the war-ridden strip, be it residential buildings, medics, journalists, hospitals, or schools, an all-out war against the Palestinian territory from air, sea, and land, killing over 25,000 people, most of them innocent women and children. The Israeli aggression has been repeatedly described as not just a war, but a genocide and an attempt at the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians. The bloodthirsty regime, however, has failed to reach any of the goals it has stated to justify its ongoing bloodshed, annihilating Hamas, setting free scores of captives held in Gaza, and pushing Palestinians out of their ancestral lands. On the ground, Palestinian fighters have inflicted heavy losses, both on the regime's military hardware and on IOF troopers. Back in the occupied territories, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is facing growing domestic outrage over his failure in the war and in securing the release of nearly 130 captives held by Hamas, both from ordinary people.
On the morning of October 7th, this government and this prime minister totally failed us. After 107 days, we are demanding that they fix the failure.
And a widening rift within Israel's political and military establishment. Israeli cabinet minister and former military chief Gadi Eisenkot is only one of the Israeli officials that have recently dismissed any achievement in Gaza. Eisenkot says the military operation in Gaza has failed to bring the captives back, arguing that the only solution is a deal with Hamas.
That it's impossible in the near future to restore the hostages alive without a deal.
Eisenkot's words contradicts a previous statement by Benjamin Netanyahu that rejects conditions presented by Hamas to end the war and release captives that would include Israel's complete withdrawal and leaving Hamas in power in Gaza. Meanwhile, growing protests have been held on a weekly basis in Israel, calling on the regime to take action to secure the release of their loved ones. Such demands, however, have fallen on deaf ears. With the war in its fourth month now, public opinion has shifted further against Netanyahu, leading to louder calls for leadership changes and the possibility of an early election. In the coming days, a Knesset meeting will be held to discuss a no-confidence motion against the premier. The motion, submitted by the opposition Labour Party, accuses Netanyahu of failing to make necessary decisions to get the captives freed. As protests reverberate through a cabinet already rattled by massive demonstrations in 2023, the question looms. Will Netanyahu heed the voices of the people, or will he prioritize his own political pursuit over their demands? Perhaps it will take a new election for the Israelis to make their voices heard, an early election that would topple the hard-right premier after over 16 years in office.
The United States has launched a new wave of attacks in Yemen. The fresh missile salvo was fired from U.S. Navy ships stationed in the Red Sea and targeted sites that were allegedly prepared to launch attacks. Over a dozen locations were said to have been hit in the strikes. The Yemeni Sabah News Agency reported that the aerial assault hit the provinces of Hodeidah, Taiz, Damar, Al-Baida, and Sada. The aggression was accompanied by the presence of surveillance aircraft over the western part of Yemen.
This aggression will not change anything in the stance of our people and its spiritual obligation in supporting the Palestinian people and the residents of Gaza, as well as the continuous targeting of ships linked to Israel. And this is clear in our continuous operations.
Yemeni armed forces have said that they will not hesitate to target all sources of threat in the Arabian and Red Seas within the country's legitimate right of self-defense. They've also warned that any aggression against Yemen by the U.S. or the U.K. will not go unanswered and unpunished. The Washington-designated Ansarullah Movement as a terrorist organization. The Ansarullah Resistance Movement has described the U.S. move to redesignate the movement as a terrorist organization as, quote, a badge of honor.
Designation of the United States here in Yemen, they don't care about that, but they are honored to have that relisting as a terrorist organization because we know, and as Sayyid Abdul Malik have said, United States is just the face of the crime. United States is one of the countries that have destroyed, they have destruction wherever they go, so we are honored to be designated as terrorist because, as always they say, one man terrorist is another man freedom fighter.
Ansarullah spokesman Mohammed Abdul Salam added that the move also proves the impact of Yemen's anti-Israeli operations in the Red Sea. As part of their support for Palestinians, the Yemeni armed forces and Ansarullah popular resistance movement have, over the past month, targeted several ships owned by the Israeli regime or bound for ports in the occupied territories in the strategic Red Sea after multiple warnings. Earlier in January, the U.S., along with the U.K., attacked Yemen in a theatrical show of support for the Israeli regime.
The issue that America and Britain have joined the war directly and that we are now in direct confrontation with the Americans, British and Israelis does not scare us at all. The aggression towards our country and our people will enhance the development of our military capabilities.
This was a brutal aggression, a violation of our sovereignty. After 10 years of war on the Yemeni people, a siege on land, air, and sea, and to add to that, they are targeting us with a new aggression. This is a new stage of the conflict. What does this reflect? It reflects a violation of sovereignty, further injustice towards people.
Washington and London have supplied money, weapons, and diplomatic cover for the Zionist occupation of Palestine. They are actively promoting genocide, ethnic cleansing, racism, apartheid, cruel dehumanization, and extreme barbarism in occupied Palestine.
It's obvious who is on the side of genocide: Britain, France, Canada, the Netherlands, and others, and Germany, especially. And on the side of right, on the side of morality, is world public opinion. Yemeni government.
The Western hegemonic powers and their Zionist ally have faced a disgraceful defeat in Gaza in the face of the resilience and steadfastness of Hamas and other Palestinian resistance groups. Yemeni military has single-handedly posed the biggest threat to the economic functioning of the Israeli occupation by forcing it out of the Red Sea and further promising to stop the movement of ships to the occupied territories if the aggression against Gaza continues. In response to the Yemeni military's actions, the U.S. formed a so-called multinational coalition in the Red Sea under the guise of protecting international trade, which in reality was an attempt to protect the status quo in regional waters
that have traditionally been in the service of Western interests. Yemeni military's efforts have been noted for being highly sophisticated and precise.
The Yemeni attacks have been extraordinarily effective, first of all. Shipping costs are rising, have risen. Insurance for ships is going up. And this will only get worse. So Israel is taking a pretty significant economic hit.
Major shipping companies have had to halt operations in the Red Sea and to take new, longer routes. And the U.S. has been scrambling to pressure the Saudis to avoid a peace deal with Yemen. Yemen's retaliatory strikes has also halted all commercial activities in the port of Eilat in the occupied territories. Yemen has, in fact, set a new equation with global consequences and has pushed the U.S. from a position of dominance to one of defense, having to react and succumb to the resistance demands.
This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio. With you every single moment.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
السلام عليكم Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio, in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really glad to let you know that again today we have brothers Hassan Nasrullah, Hussein Akbari, Hussein Ruhullah and Ali Nasir. I really, really welcome you all, brothers. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome, everyone.
Alaikum assalam, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Hussein, how are you?
I'm fine.
Alhamdulillah. So, Ali Nasir, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, sir. Great.
And Hussein?
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
So everyone is fine. Hope you are doing well, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Let's get started. Inshallah, today we will be working on Ayah 152 from Surah Al-An'am. What page, brothers?
149.
So everyone, dear sisters, brothers, as you're listening, turn to page 149, Ayah 152, Surah
Al-An'am.
Let's listen to the recitation, everyone.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wala taqrabu malal yatimi illa billati hiya ahsanu hatta yablugha ashuddah. وأوفوا الكيل والميزان بالقسط لا نكلف نفسا إلا وسعها وإذا قلتم فاعدلوا ولو كان ذا قربى وبعهد الله أوفوا ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم تذكرون.
That was nice recitation. MashaAllah. ولا تقربوا مال اليتيم إلا بالتي هي أحسن حتى يبلغ أشده. This is a very nice ayah. Let's talk about this ayah, inshallah, and work on the tajweed rules, the important ones here in this ayah. Okay, Hussein, could you read us this ayah once, please? A'udhu billah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa la taqrabu mala al-yatim illa billati hiya ahsanu hatta yablugha ashadda.
Thank you. That was nice. He fixed the mistake, yeah? MashaAllah.
Yes.
Good. So, sometimes when you make a mistake, okay? When you make a mistake, so it's very good if you understand that you made a mistake. So try to fix it, okay? Not only in reading Quran, not only in reading a book, in speech, but everywhere in your life, in any aspect of your life, whenever you see you made a mistake, try to fix it, okay? Yes. Or if somebody else notices and tells you, hey man, you made a mistake, okay? So get back and fix it. But in recitation, remember that whenever you make a mistake, okay, try to read it again and fix that mistake. I mean, do not continue with that mistake, okay? In recitation, especially in Quranic competitions. Remember, yes, that when you participate, yeah, in a Quranic competition, okay? So you should not make mistakes, okay?
Yeah.
If you make mistakes and you fix it, it's okay, your recitation is good, but they reduce your mark, all right?
Yes.
This pauses. Thank you, Hussein. Let's explain. So, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. Allah Almighty says, do not approach مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ. What does it mean? They
don't use.
Yeah, or تَقْرَبُوا means do not approach, do not get close to.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ, the properties of?
Orphans.
Orphans. The properties of an orphan. What does it mean? What does it mean? We should not get close to them?
No, because they don't have anyone there to control it, so many people go and
misuse them. All right, this is the point.
Properties of orphans.
Yeah, this is the point. So Allah Almighty says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا. Allah Almighty does not say, don't misuse. Allah Almighty asks, hey, don't get close to it, to the properties of an orphan.
Yeah.
وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا. What do you say about it? قَاف has a sukun sign.
Yeah. It's قَلْقَلَة.
قَلْقَلَة, the rule قَلْقَلَة is applied in tajweed, based on tajweed, yes? How many letters are there that you have to bounce the sound when reading them? If they appear ساكن?
Yeah, five letters.
Five letters. قُطْبَ جَدْ we call them.
Yes.
Hassan, could you name them? قُطْبَ جَدْ letters.
Yes.
They are very clear.
قَاف.
قَاف.
تَ.
طَا.
بَ.
بَ.
جِيم.
جِيم and
دَال.
دَال. So these five letters, Hussein, whenever they appear ساكن, what do?
We'll bounce the sound.
Yeah, pronounce them with an echoing sound, with a bouncing sound. تَقَّ. تَقَّ. Alright? تَقْرَبُوا.
Yes.
وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا. تَقْرَبُوا. تَقَّ. Jump. It jumps as if you kick the ball,
yeah,
and it jumps a little, yes? وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا. Or like what do you call it? The heart beats. It jumps a bit. Yes? It jumps. That way. تَقْرَبُوا.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
وبختم كتابك أرقى
So, مال اليتيم. Remember the ma sound. Don't say مال اليتيم.
Yeah, okay?
That's not a Persian one. مال اليتيم. It's a light letter. Okay, good. ولا تقربوا مال اليتيم إلا بالتي هي أحسن. Except in the best possible way, in the best possible manner. Okay, which means if you're sure of yourself that you are a just person, a fair person, and you will help him fairly, and you will not use his properties for your own benefits. In this case, you can, yeah, approach and help him. Doesn't mean you should use it for yourself, okay? حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ أَشُدَّهُ حَسَنٍ. In this ayah, the whole ayah, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stopping signs we have. But 4 of them are the same. صِلَى, and one of them is جِيم. حَسَن, explain these two. What do they mean?
All right. Sila tells us it's better to continue.
Okay.
But still you can stop.
You can make a pause, but better to?
Continue.
What about Jim? The baby Jim on the top of the word awfu. وَبِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ awfu.
Jim tells us that it's optional to continue or to stop.
It means you're permitted. Okay?
Yes.
Jim jais. You're permitted. Okay. So, حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ. Look at the ba. يَبْلُغَ. So, move on, Hussein. وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطُ. Listen, everyone, how he recites بِالْقِسْطُ. Let's see, he does the qalqala or no?
وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطُ.
أحسنت. وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطُ. Yeah, the qalqala, qalqala. Alright?
Yes.
So, Allah Almighty says, and observe fully the measure and the balance. Be careful about the measures, about the balance, okay? It says not only about the properties of an orphan, okay? Everywhere, everywhere. Whenever, like for example, let me give you an example. You are a shopkeeper, for example.
Yes.
Okay? A shopkeeper.
Yeah.
An orphan comes to your shop and he says, Uncle, I want something. And God forbid, Shaitan comes and tempts you and tells you, hey, he's an orphan. There's no one to ask anything about his property and his money, okay? You can sell this, for example, 1 kilo of apple to him, for example, more than others, okay?
Mm-hmm.
MashaAllah. So, أَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ. Make sure we have two lean vowel sounds. Could you tell us, Ali Nasir? Lean. Do you remember the mat lean?
Yeah, A sound.
A and?
أَوْ.
أَوْ. أَوْ and A. So fatha plus waw sakin, fatha plus ya sakin.
Ya sakin.
وَأَوْفُ. Sometimes we might think like it's wow, so we should read it ooh. Oofu.
Yes.
No. Awfu.
Yes.
Kailu kaila. Maybe we might think it's kila. But look at the ka. It has a fatha on the top. Ya sakin. So kaila. Sometimes students make this mistake. I've seen. Okay? وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ. أَوْفُ, they would say أُوْفُ الْكِيلَ. It has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطَ. Make sure it has قَلْقَلَ. Move on. Ali Nasir, could you continue?
Yes. لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسَحًا.
أحسن. Allah Almighty says, we task no soul except according to its capacity. If Allah Almighty has appointed some rules upon us, okay, that you must, for example, perform prayers 5 times a day, do the fastings, these things, these are because we have this capacity. We have this ability to do so. Don't we have? Huh?
Yes.
Can't we perform 5 times a day prayers? Can we do or no?
Yes.
Yeah, of course we can do. So it's not something we cannot do. Of course, for example, somebody who is ill, he cannot stand up, so we have to do the prayers while standing, yes?
Yes.
Standing,
yes.
And the proper way, the normal way. But sometimes if somebody cannot do, so Allah Almighty has not forced them to do it standing, because they can't do. So they have to sit. On a chair, for example, on a table, they have to perform their prayer. If somebody cannot do it on a table, lie back, do it. But you have to do it, okay? لا نكلف نفسا إلا وسعها. وإذا قلتم فعدلوا. So the rest of them, inshallah, we will read together. All right?
Yes.
So, some points. لا نكلف نفسا إلا وسعها. Very simple. وإذا قلتم فعدلوا ولو كان ذا قربا. And when you speak, be fair. ولو كان ذا قربا. Even if it were a relative. وبعهد الله أوفوا. And fulfill Allah's covenant. Allah's, if you've promised Allah Almighty. ذلكم وصاكم به. Here, وصاكم به. Make sure you have it. We have
إخفاء
for meme. كم به. We hide the sound. لعلكم تذكرون. So, alhamdulillah, you learned how to recite this ayah. Now, I will recite it once. Make sure you repeat after me. Brothers and sisters, time to have a recitation. Everyone, ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ولا تقربوا مال اليتيم إلا بالتي هي أحسن حتى يبلغ أشده.
ولا تقربوا مال اليتيم إلا بالتي هي أحسن حتى يبلغ أشده.
وأوفوا الكيل والميزان بالقسط.
وأوفوا الكيل والميزان بالقسط.
لا نكلف نفسا إلا وسعها.
لا نكلف نفسا إلا وسعها.
وإذا قلتم فاعدلوا ولو كان ذا قربى.
وإذا قلتم فاعدلوا ولو كان ذا قربى.
وبعهد الله أوفوا.
وبعهد الله أوفوا.
ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم تذكرون.
ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم تذكرون.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Ahsantum. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, for being with us up to this time. That's it from us for today. Hope you stay with IRB English Radio. See you in the next sessions. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور. آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى. نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Palestine Declassified.
Hello, I'm Chris Williamson, and this is Palestine Declassified. We're the only weekly show focusing on investigating and exposing the Israeli regime's global war against solidarity with the illegally occupied people of Palestine. In this week's show, be delving into the dubious activities of a number of British charities who've been raising funds for Israeli soldiers engaged in genocide in Gaza. We'll be asking some probing questions about why the Charity Commission hasn't intervened, when its role is to make sure that charities fulfil their legal obligations and are accountable for their actions. The Commission has a statutory duty to investigate concerns identified in the administration and running of charities, yet there's no evidence of it acting on its obligations in these cases. Latif Abu Chakra has been looking into which charities are involved and some of the prominent individuals associated with them.
The Association for Israel Soldiers is based in occupied Palestine and claims to be the sole avenue through which donations can be made directly to IOF soldiers and IOF units. These donations come